Hello and welcome to season four, episode six of the Emotional Autoimmunity Podcast. I am your host, Kerry Jeffrey, and I am a coach. I'm a therapist and I'm a clinical hypnotherapist living here in Melbourne, Australia, with four chronic autoimmune conditions. And I help my clients all over the world to overcome the often complex emotional issues that come with chronic illness. And I know exactly what they all are because they're all things that I've dealt with myself since I became chronically ill almost 10 years ago now. And the reason that I needed to develop all of these new skills and frameworks and strategies was that when I became chronically ill, there was so little support and understanding out there, both in the therapy and psychology and helping profession. So no understanding of how much it changes your life and how different that you feel in a body that's suddenly doing often scary and difficult things where you'll no longer feel like the person that you were before, and you often have a disability or a dynamic disability like I do. So a dynamic disability means that my abilities, both cognitively and physically, change depending on what is going on with my chronic conditions, whether I'm going through a flare or not, what my energy levels are going to be, all of those things. And as I'd already been a therapist before I became chronically ill, I was just appalled at the lack of knowledge and the lack of support. And I think one of the things that becoming chronically ill does is, one, that it makes you so painfully aware of how badly our systems are failing us. So our medical support systems, our disability support systems, our helping mental health support systems. It's really difficult to get the support that we often need, especially financial support, because pretty much in all the countries that I with clients that I work with, it's very difficult to get any sort of financial ability or financial compensation or support or disability in all of the countries in the world. And in fact, in some countries, I think this is going on in the UK at the moment, the government is looking at, again, it's scrutinizing the amount of support, financial support that is given to people with disabilities and making cutbacks in that sort of welfare. And it's a very sad fact that any sort of social support around illness and disability seems to be the first ones to experience any kind of financial trimming or cutbacks for governments around the world. And it's not only those institutional and societal supports that are just not up to the task, right? And just have these big cracks that we so often fall through. But it's the one-on-one support. It's the support in our relationships. It's the support in our families. It's the support in our friendship groups. It's the support in our communities that is really lacking. And when you're living with ongoing and in most cases incurable at the moment, chronic conditions where your abilities fluctuate, it just makes it so difficult, and you can often feel so alone and so isolated and so judged and unsupported in your day-to-day life. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to get the best chance of getting the support that you can or that you need, because there are different strategies that can maximize us getting that support And it does require a new way of looking at things, having a new mindset about it, using a different type of communication, and being quite strategic about it. So I'm going to have a little sip of my drink. Oh, that's better. And we're going to talk about all these different ways of support and what you can do to maximize your chance of getting support. So the first one I want to deal with today is online support groups, because that is pretty much where we're first going to land when we're diagnosed or we're dealing with the difficulties, the physical and emotional difficulties of living with chronic illness and chronic conditions. So, especially in those early stages, you're really feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling lost, you're looking for some direction, some support, other people that understand your situation. And there are lots of different online communities where you can find that, from things like Reddit, but I'm going to talk about the one that I'm more familiar with, which is online Facebook support groups. So online groups can be a bit of a double-edged sword. So it can be really good to like find other people that are dealing with the same things that you're dealing with, and to get some, feeling that you're not alone in this, and it's not just you, and that other people are finding it just as difficult as you are. And it can also be a place, if there's people that are further along the path, that can give you some advice or give you the benefit of the things that have worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. In really good groups, they can even, recommend doctors that are more amenable to helping you, or more understanding, or more supportive. And they can be a very valuable resource to link you up to different things in your particular country. But on the not so good side, they can also be depressing, overwhelming, and terrifying, because when you're already feeling scared and your future is uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen to you, and you don't know how you're going to get through this and get anywhere near the person that you were before the illness, then what you're also going to see in a lot of these online groups are people who are drowning, right? People that are being living with this, they're so overwhelmed. People that their d disease progression is a lot further down the track for you, and they're experiencing very severe symptoms or life-threatening situations or experiences of hospitalization with their illness. And that can be terrifying to witness that, because generally anyone witnessing that, especially for the first time when you're new in the illness, can only, help you think, well, is that my future? Is that what's going to happen to me? And unfortunately, depending on the type of illness you have, if you're very active in those communities, there are going to be people that are not going to survive. And I've experienced that through the course of the people that I've met and known, through talking with people, through interviewing people, which I used to do earlier on in the piece, people that I've come to know in my community. And so there has, over the years, been people that have unfortunately been lost to the illness, that have been friends of mine, that I formed a connection with, as many of us do online, because we're often in different countries, different places, and things like that. And that is difficult to deal with. So the best way that I found for myself, in terms of getting the most support from the online Facebook support groups is first to get a feel for the group and see what they're all about, and then see if that's actually going to meet my needs. So if the group, because there are many, for most common illnesses, there are things like Hashimoto's. There are lots of different support groups offered. Also, look at the person who's providing the group. Unfortunately, for quite a few of the groups, there are people that are hoping that they're going to get you as to either buy their products or use their services. And I mean, this is quite legitimate, and many of these people do actually offer value in their groups, but some people don't. So it's really important to be aware of that. So understand what is the group for, who's running the group, and are they going to try and sell you? Because that's important information to know whether you want to be a part of that or not. The second thing to look for, which is a bit of a red flag, is it a drama group? So a really good online support group is going to have good admins running it, which means that they're not going to allow people to be abusive. They're not going to fuel drama. They're not going to allow people to be attacked. And they're trying, and I know having run a group myself for nearly 3 years on Facebook to support people with the emotional issues of chronic illness, there are people that just want to create drama, and it's a lot of work. And all the people admining these groups are volunteers. So, for example, when I was running my group, I had to be in there every day reading every post, right? And it wasn't a requirement, but that was what I felt I needed to do to run the kind of group that I wanted to run and to create a safe environment for people. And it was a 7 days a week unpaid job. And there are people that will lie about themselves to get into the group. They'll say they have the condition when they don't. And that might be, they want to try and exploit people, or it's for their own interest, so they can make money out of it, or just so they can come in, spy on other family members and get information. So it's a really big job. So you want to be in a group with a good admin team, one that has very clear requirements and rules of conduct for being in that group, and one where you're feeling relatively safe, so you know that people aren't going to be, sharing your information all over the place. But because these groups are online and you can't guarantee anybody privacy, even within a private Facebook group, you can still just be careful about what you share, all right? Don't think it's completely safe and private, because there are such things as screenshots. There are such things as people being able to copy and paste. So be selective with the information that you share. And then once you can find a group like this, with it's not going to give you everything that you want, but if it's giving you what you're looking for. So for me, I was looking for information. I was looking for people that were a bit further ahead down the track, especially when I was trying new protocols and treatments to see how it worked for them and to see how I could access those resources and what was the best way to go about it. Then I would dive in very selectively. So I wouldn't live in the group. I would basically go in, ask for what I'm looking for, offer a little bit of support, but not too much, because then that can be stressful as well, and kind of get into the group and get out of the group what I most need, and then engage with the group in a way that felt good and supportive for me. So I don't want to be involved in drama. I don't want to be involved in supporting people for free. This is something I do for a living. I try and help people where I can, that groups can very easily suck you into that empathy trap where there's so many people that are in need, and so you want to give that support. And I have met people in groups that have become online friends, so they can be valuable resources, but you've got to be in it for, be very careful and strategic about how you use the groups to meet your particular needs and use it that way, because that's what's going to be most helpful for you. So support where you feel comfortable. Engage with drama or not, that's completely up to you. Offer support where you can, ask specific questions, and if you're in a good group, then there's always still, there's going to be the drama creating people. There's going to be the people that keep asking for help but don't want to change anything or do anything differently or anything like that. So it's about you focusing where you want to put your attention, trying to get the good out of the group, and pretty much release the rest. And that's my attitude to any new learning experience or anything that I'm doing. I want to take the good, take what works for me, take what I think is valuable, and disregard the rest, right? So the things that I don't want to do, the things that I know won't work for me, and then I do my own thing. The other danger with some support groups, they get stuck in this almost cult-like mentality, especially if it's around a specific protocol, that it's their way and their way is the only way, and you must be doing it their way. And if you're not getting the results that they are getting, then you must not be doing it right. They can be a bit of a trap to get into. So in those groups, I found it's always best for me to take that, get what I need, and disregard the rest. So get the information, apply it the way that I want to apply it, and save myself the stress of saying I'm not following the creed of the group in, I'm going to do it my own way. Just get the information that I want, because if I want to talk about how I'm going to individualize the process, then they're not going to be receptive to that. You can often get a lot of hostility, and it can be a bit of a minefield. Like, for example, if I'm in a general type 1 diabetes support online group where they don't use the protocols to manage that I do to best manage my disease, if I talk about how I eat or what I do to manage my type 1 diabetes, that can get me kicked out of the group. They have a very different philosophy to me, and it's important to be in a group where your philosophies align. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to speak freely. You're not going to be able to help somebody who's asking questions about, well, what worked for you? How did you keep your blood sugars as stable as you could? Because you actually are going to be kicked out of the group, or you're going to get a lot of hostility or blowback from that. So get what you need, right? First, work out what you want from the group. Go in there selectively. Participate to the level that you want to participate for what's meeting your needs, and disregard the rest. And a sign of that is going to be by how you feel, right? If you're in groups and you find yourself feeling anxious, you find yourself feeling stressed, you find yourself feeling worse about your life or feeling drained, that's a really important sign to take notice of, that maybe that group is not meeting your needs, and that you either need to remove yourself from that group, or you need to modify or change your expectations of that group and what you want from that group. So you want to get the good from the group and disregard the things that you don't want to deal with or you don't want to be involved in. And that is the beauty of the online world, right? We can block, you can block people that are problematic or mute them. You do have that form of control online if you're willing to use it. So that is how to get the best out of groups. So I hope that bit has been useful for you. So before I get into maximizing your chances of getting the best support in general, so with partners, families, and friends, we're going to have a little word from our sponsor, and my sponsor is me. So I don't have paid sponsors. I don't have any way of making money from this podcast. And if you're interested in helping me reach more people with this podcast, then if you're getting value for it from it, if you're finding that you're getting some solutions or getting some advice or just feeling a little bit more validated or heard or understood, then I would love it if you could share this podcast in your friends and communities where you've got permission to do that. And I would really love it if you would leave a 5-star review and a positive comment, because that is going to help me reach more people, because there's a lot of podcasts, as you know, out in the world. And I would really love it if this podcast would help more people, because I do think that what I have to offer in these podcasts is of help and support to people. And I want to get that message out there to as many people as I can. So I want to remind you that everybody who's never had a discovery session with me before is entitled to a free discovery session with me online. You can actually book that. There is a link in the footer of this podcast where you can book that. It'll give you the option to choose the drop-down menu about what your time zone is, what country that you're in. It'll then show you what availabilities I have for that. So once you do that, you'll get to meet me online. We can talk about what your challenges are. I can tell you whether I think I can help you, because I'm not the right person for everyone and not everybody is the right client for me. And if I feel I can help you, which is generally the case, then I'll tell you which of my programs that I recommend and why, how it all works. And I do not want or expect a response from you in that meeting. It's purely information sharing. I'll then email you after the discovery session what we've talked about, a summary of how I see your issues as you've described them, what it is that you're wanting help with, and how you want to feel, how you want to improve your life, what your goals are. And then once I send that, that's it. I don't do any follow-up. It's completely up to you. So I know there are lots of companies out there that offer like free, contact me or book a meeting or something like that, and they often are for a sales pitch. So I do want to reassure you, this isn't a sales pitch. Like, of course I'm running a business. Of course I would love it if you worked with me, if we're the right fit for each other. But it's really about that fit, right? It's about you having the opportunity, which generally isn't there with most coaches or therapists, to actually get some of their time for nothing, to find out what they're about and how they work, to see whether they feel like they are the right person that can help you with what you want to achieve. So that's why I do this. It's not a sales pitch. I'm not going to ask you for a commitment. It's you tell me what your issues are. I'll tell you whether I feel I can help you. I'll tell you how I would do that and how much of an investment it's going to be. And then I send you the information and it's completely up to you. So if you've been listening to my podcast, you've been thinking, oh, Carrie sounds like someone that might be able to help me, but you're a little bit worried about, oh, this free discovery session, is there a hook involved? What's going on here? I want to reassure you that what I say about what I do is exactly what you're going to get. That's what it's all about. The only thing that I do ask of you is, if you make the appointment for the discovery session, then please show up, because I am investing my time and energy as someone else living with chronic illness, and it's really frustrating, especially with the time zone differences. If I'm waking up earlier in the morning and getting myself ready to meet somebody online and there are no show, that, that's time that I could have done other things, or that's I could have had an extra hour of sleep or rest that I needed. So while I respect your time, I ask that you also respect mine. And there are options to cancel if you feel that you can't make it for any reason. Through the booking system, you can log back in and you can just cancel the session. And I will really appreciate that, because it is disappointing and it is frustrating to feel that my time and energy has been wasted by people that make an appointment and then don't show up for it. So let's get back to the podcast. So in general, one of the big things that I see people stumble over when they are looking for support is a desire to want people to understand what you're going through, right? So I want people to understand how my life is so different. I want people to understand how I'm feeling about it and the grief that I'm going through. I want people to understand and give me some empathy and support for that. And the reality is, unfortunately, because chronic illness is so poorly understood in all of our support systems, both professional ones and community-based ones, and there's so much misinformation out there, that one of the first things I changed is I let people off the hook for understanding. I do not expect people to understand my illnesses. I do not expect people to understand why I choose to manage my conditions the way that I do, from the way I eat to my availability, all of those things. I don't expect them to understand, so I let them off the hook for that. But what I do expect them to understand is the practical reality that I do have a chronic illness. I do have a disability, right? So a dynamic disability. I am different in terms of things that I need to do to best and responsibly, because that is my job, manage my conditions. So I expect, and I will not let people off the hook for respecting the boundaries that I need to set in place in order to do that. So I always talk about my illnesses in a practical way. So I can do this, but I can't do that, right? I can meet you at a restaurant and I'll sit with you while you have your meal, and I'm going to eat before I go because that's what's best for me. I am going to publicly use my needles when I need insulin and test. I will ask you if you have an issue with needles and tell you to avert your gaze, or if you've got an issue with blood, seeing blood, please, I'm going to test my blood sugar now. I need you to look away. I can be available during the daytime, but not at night. I am going to have to cancel things, so I will say yes to something with all good intentions and plans to attend it. And I'm also going to let you know that there is a possibility that I might have to cancel at the last minute because of the illness, because I am reliable, I am responsible, and my illness is not. There are many things that I can do to help myself with my four autoimmune conditions, and there are also many factors that are outside of my control. And when my body says no, then I respect my body. I'm going to work with my body. I'm going to give my body what she needs in terms of rest. And yes, that means dealing with my own disappointment that I can't do things. And I'm going to be honest with people and say, look, I'm really sorry. I was so looking forward to seeing you, and unfortunately, it's not going to be a go, right? I've just crashed. My energy is tanked. I'm just going to need to go to bed and rest. And I'm really sorry because I was so looking forward to being part of it, and I'm so sorry that we need to miss out because of this this illness, and that's the way it is. That's all we can do, right? So I'm honest, I'm factual, I'm practical about asking for support. So let people off the hook for expecting them to understand, because they're not going to, but be persistent with helping them accept the practical realities of your disability, whatever that is, and the changes you've need to make. Don't let people off the hook for that. It's your job to responsibly manage your condition. So that's the first important thing. The second important thing is that you need to be clear and direct about the kind of support that you need. Most people, I believe, are good people, and I believe that most good people want to help others. I want to help others. I'm sure you want to help others, and you do with the people that you love. If there's some way that you can help people and be a good Samaritan, then I believe that most people are willing to do that. But where we fall down is not asking for what we want, because that's not what we're taught. We're not taught that clear and direct communication. We're taught, especially as women, to hint, right? To be indirect, to not ask specifically for what I want in case our biggest fear comes true and we're going to be rejected. So we don't ask for what we want. But the reality is, we are not a mind reader group of people. We are not, mind reading is not one of the hallmarks of being a human being. And because we're not taught good, clear communication, effective communication, we forget the basic fact that nobody knows what you want unless you tell them. And more importantly, nobody knows what you don't want or you don't like unless you tell them. And so we don't do this because we are too focused on worrying about upsetting the other person or what they will think or whether they will feel disappointed or offended or angry. And we all have that fear. Under the current model, I use a very different model, so I'm not in that situation. And that's one of the models, that the main foundation that I teach, right? I give people a good model so that you are more able to communicate more openly and authentically and effectively in a way that actually allows you to have closer, more connected relationships, and not be so worried about upsetting other people or what they're going to think of you, or are you being too much, or are you being too demanding, or is your illness burdening them? Because that's the specific mindset that's going to keep you stuck, and it's going to stop you from getting the support that you actually want. So get clear about what you want. This applies to doctors, right? Don't go and see your doctor or your specialist or your nurse practitioner with a global, you know, oh, I'm struggling, help me approach. Work out what you want before you go. And normally you do have an idea about what you want. It might be you want some specific tests done. It might be you've got a new symptom that's really worrying you, and so you want to have that checked out. So you go there very focused with that outcome in mind, using non-emotional language. So you're not going to talk about feelings. You're going to talk about physical symptoms, because that's speaking their language. That's what they are trained to do. They're looking for clusters of symptoms that then point to a diagnosis. So you might go in and say, I have X disease. I now have a new symptom. This is when it started happening. This is how often it's happening. So frequency, duration, in intensity of the pain, where it's located, what it feels like. You go in talking their language, being very clear and specific, and then the outcome you want. So what do you think this is? Are there tests that we can run? Be clear, be direct. And it doesn't mean being aggressive or anything like that. It's you're actually facilitating a better relationship. Like the chances, you're maximizing your chances of getting the support you want because you're giving them the information they need in the way that they can best understand it. And plus, you're making the use of the limited time that you have because most doctors or specialist appointments are like 10 to 15 minutes tops, if you can even get that. So you're going to be focused with the outcome that you want in mind. If you're feeling that your family could offer more support, then tell them directly and clearly how you would like that to happen. So, for example, I'm not able at the moment to drive the kids to their Saturday football training. Mum or dad or sister or brother, I'm not able to do that. Is it possible? Like, are you free? Would you be able to pick the kids up and be with them at the training and then bring them home? Like, give them clear, specific ways they can help you. Mum, would you be able to come over and do a couple of loads of laundry for me? Partner, I'm not going to be able to do that today. I need you to do that. So be clear and specific, and don't feel ashamed or embarrassed about it. This is the practical aspect of chronic illness, right? This is not your fault. You did not create this. You are not doing this deliberately, right? You are dealing with a physical issue, a disease that is not your making, that creates these unpredictable, painful, limiting things in your body. So you don't have to apologize to it, you know, to people for these requests. It's part of acknowledging life has changed. You've changed. This thing happens. Right, everybody at some point is going to become disabled by something. Illness can happen to anybody. We cannot guarantee anybody ongoing health and ability. So these apologies, this guilt, right, this feeling of being like a burden comes from our own internalized ableism, right, which is still expecting we do things that we could do before that so-called normal healthy people do. We're not accepting the reality that I now have these disabilities and they may be dynamic or they may be permanent. But when chronic illness happens to you, it also happens to everybody else around you. And the big mistake I see people making is they attempt to sacrifice themselves to shield their family and friends by pushing themselves to still try and do everything that they did before the illness. So nobody will be, you know, put out, or nobody will experience the consequences of that, or, you know, nobody will be affected by that. Don't sacrifice yourself. That's internalized ableism. You have an illness. Things have changed for you. Your body is different. Your ability is different. And if you come at it from this practical, unapologetic, because I am unapologetically chronically ill, I don't apologize. Why would I apologize for my illness? I haven't done anything wrong. These four horrible things have happened to me. And I am doing the best that I can. And I am responsibly managing my diseases, which means that my lifestyle has changed. I have changed. My ability has changed. That's the way that it is. It can happen to anyone. It is not my fault. And I give other people the opportunity to step up and accept this with me exactly the same way that they would need to if you were in an accident and suffered a spinal cord injury and they could see the changes, right? The changes would be so in their face. So it is up to us to advocate for ourselves that we still get the respect and the support and the help that we are absolutely entitled to as human beings. And that means coming at it from this very practical, right, perspective, negotiating, telling people clearly what we need, telling them specifically how they can best help us. And if you do that, you are absolutely going to maximize your chances of getting the best support. Now, if this is something that you really struggle with, right? If you're really stuck in the, you know, trying to not inconvenience anybody else or feeling guilty or not knowing how to have these practical conversations or to set these boundaries, then what are you waiting for? Book your free discovery session with me online now. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to meet you. And I'd love to give you all the information you need to decide if I'm the person that can best help you. And you can also get all the information about my programs, including pricing, on my website, which is emotionalautoimmunity.com. I hope this podcast has been useful for you. And if it has, please leave me a review, share it with your friends. I would love this podcast to meet, to be able to find the people who really need to benefit from it and hear it. I'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. So bye for now.